Hello, everybody. Welcome to Healing Mirror Holders. I am thrilled to be here, and it's been a while since I was here. I had a fantastic time. I was in Cyprus for 4 days. It was great. It's kind of related to what we will talk about in this show, plant medicine. I'm so relaxed and calm and energized, and you know, the disharmony is, I think mostly I need to thank the view, the plants, the weather, the natural elements that we usually don't think in our everyday lives. Not everybody, but some people, you know, they do appreciate the natural elements, and they understand that without them, things wouldn't be so, well, I wouldn't say comfortable, but maybe it is. Maybe it's, you know, we don't see what's really around us, and we don't appreciate that as much as we need to. Hey, Roger. Roger just joined in. Greetings to all. You too. And our guest number 723. Hi there. Glad you all could make it. This is going to be a very interesting show. I think we did a show like that, but it was way, way long ago. So it's time to talk about plant medicine, about this medicine that is all around us, and we need to preserve it. We need to make sure that we empower it so it will help us to get through all of the changes that are, you know, they continue to happen all the time. And they are part of the balance that we have to maintain and to nurture all the time. Otherwise, things will be in chaos. I mean, it's really simple when I think about it. Anyway, today we'll talk about, like I said, plant roles in the web of life. We'll bring some teachings that Jim has collected over the years, and I'm sure you too have a lot to say. So, you guys, if you have something to say, we're waiting for you, because this is your show. This is all about you, and we would like you to, you know, if you want to call us, just let us know, and we'll bring you. Otherwise, we don't want to interrupt anyone, so just let us know before, even if it's just seconds away, it's okay. I don't know if we have a sound. Roger, can you hear us? I mean, I don't think we have a sound, because Roger just asked, do we have sound yet? Anyway, Jim, can you hear me?
I can hear you, and I guess you can hear me, but I'm not sure if anyone else can hear us. So we have no idea, as usual, what's going on with Blog Talk Radio, because they are one of the least efficient organizations that I guess I've ever worked with. And once again, they're just kind of proving it. They put a note up saying, our engineers are working on the solution for audio. In the meantime, here's a quick fix, delete cookies and so forth. Well, we've done all that. We spent 15 minutes doing that. So I'm just blathering to see. Okay, looks like they still do not hear us. So we may or may not have a show.
Jamie, can you hear us? We'll wait until Oh my God, this is funny. Oh, Jenny, you hear us? Okay, Jenny can hear us.
Okay, wonder who else. Oh, Janie,
okay.
You're hearing.
Okay, so we just, yeah, thanks. Ooh. Okay, thank you, Janie, for being with us today. It's great to have you as a feedback. but yeah, apparently we just talked trash about Block Talk Radio, and here we are again. Oh, well, you know, life is funny. but maybe Roger has his own audio issues. Maybe it's about Block Talk as well. Who knows? But both
well,
Janie can hear us.
Yeah,
Janie can hear us, and I'm sure that things will be okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm looking at the message board, and it looks like everyone except one person is able to hear us. So it seems sporadic, whatever it is. So we'll just carry on and see what happens. Hopefully Roger can get back. Maybe it's a Canadian thing, eh?
Maybe.
Where were we now? I'm just trying to reset my things here. Okay. Good. Here we go. Back online. Now I just got thrown off of chat. So, sorry, folks. We're going to work this through as quickly as we can. I promise. Anyway, we're going to talk about trees today. We did talk about trees, Sharon's right, a long time ago, but from a totally different perspective. And the trees are just standing up and speaking a lot these days. I've had people asking me about Native American and indigenous stories about trees of late. So that's why this kind of came to me the other day, to do something around trees. So there are some stories maybe we'll share later that I think that I still remember at least fairly well. I just wanted to do the quote from Mary Hayes, who, forgive me because I'm not really familiar with this tribe, so if I mispronounce it, please have a good laugh. I see running elks there. You can probably correct me. The trees are great teachers. The trees are great listeners. That is why we should meditate in their presence. The Great Spirit is in every rock, every animal, every human being, and in every tree. The Great Spirit has been in some trees for hundreds of years. Therefore, the trees have witnessed and heard much. The trees are the elders of the elders. Their spirits are strong and very healing. And, you know, there's a whole bunch in that quote. But that's a lot of the things I've been taught over the years by elders of many different nations, the ones that I've mentioned before that I've worked with, Lakota, Blackfoot, Kiwat, Mayan, I mean, on and on and on. Trees come up pretty much in every culture. Like many things on this earth, they are critical to our survival. You know, it's almost like we could say that for every show. Each piece is very critical, absolutely. Trees, I find to be especially powerful and especially critical because they're not only critical to our physical existence, which of course they are by creating the oxygen that we all breathe, but they're critical to our mental health. They're definitely critical to our spiritual health. As Mary said in that quote, you know, go and meditate with the trees. Well, again, my elders would always send me out. And I do it now with people that I teach. I've done it with Sharon. I've done it with Sue. Doing it with Rod now and some other people now. Go out and sit with a rock, sit with a tree, bring a rock to a tree, sit there. And that's where you want to meditate. That's where you want to journey. Because the tree people, the standing nation, can just come in and help you with all of those things. They kind of tie everything together on this planet. And like so many things on the planet right now, things are out of balance, and that's because of we humans. We've cut trees. We've clear-cut things. We're cutting down the rainforest at an astounding rate. And we keep rushing ahead doing these things and not stopping those who are doing it, which continues to fascinate me. It's like if someone says, if you do this much more, cut down more trees, kill more bees, whatever it is, you're all going to die. And so do we wake up and slow? No, we go even faster. And I don't mean we collectively, but we collectively are allowing it to happen. So a little bit of this show today will be, and we don't want it to be on negative things. We do want to be aware that's going on. But how do we get back into a state of respect for the standing people, which is what the trees are known as in Native American ways? How do we get into a state of respect with the trees again? How do we honor the trees' existence? How do we create an environment where the trees are again safe and healthy? Therefore, we will be safe and healthy. So that's kind of where we're going today. That's a mouthful. Let me turn it over to my spirit twin here.
It's amazing, you know. I'm thinking about the quote from Mary Hayes, and I'm thinking about the what she taught me, Jim. Take what you need and leave the rest behind. And it's, you know, physically, when we think about it, we need the trees, like you said, like you mentioned. You know, we need the oxygen. We need the oxygen that the trees, the plants, plant medicine provides to us. But it's also something that, you know, it has an emotional ingredient that this medicine carries that we need desperately. And unfortunately, we see less and less of that awareness in people, and we see the actions that were caused, that are caused by this serious lack of awareness about plant medicine. I'm glad to see movies like Avatar or like Lord of the Rings. The movie and the especially the second movie and the book, there is this there are scenes of the ants, the ancient trees. There's a lot of wisdom in these scenes, and I really recommend to watch it. Or to read about it, but there's a lot of emotional stuff that all of us, we put too much inside and not allowing things to flow, not allowing ourselves to grow like the trees do, is what, you know, we need to really wake up and again, this quotation is really amazing because they have been here way before us. They have knowledge that we're blocking because we think this is not important, that there are many things that are more important than this. And, you know, truthfully, there is nothing more important than this. I find it very sad, but, you know, we're here and we can make the difference. I see that if from Roger, about the radio, he said a good friend of mine who I listen to regularly dropped Block Talk Radio last month. After 3 years of their nonsense. Interesting. You might consider that sometime, someday. But yeah, you know, even internet, when we think about the internet connection, internet connections, you know, they rise, they fall. Things go weird with the internet, especially lately, because of the crazy weather that is really all over the place, all over the world. But the trees stay strong and the connection between them stays strong. They have the Wi-Fi that we don't. I mean, it's, I know it's not acceptable to say something like that, but if you try to mention that, their connection is way, way more advanced than the Wi-Fi, the human Wi-Fi. But yeah, definitely, there's a lot we can we need to learn. It's not a can issue. If we can, of course we can, but we really need to. We really need to embrace this kind of a medicine into our own, you know, existence. Not to ignore it. It's really easy to ignore, but to embrace something, to put time in to invent that energy. That's the work. That's the balanced work is worth everything, really. Talking Stick is yours.
Yeah, it's the tree people, the standing people. I'm looking at them out the window here as they're blowing and as we do this show. And we have a lot of trees here up along the river, a lot of pines, but also a lot of deciduous trees. Small trees, big trees, all kinds of trees. And, of course, here in Colorado, up along the rivers, and in many parts of the West and the world in the last couple of years, fires have also taken a number of trees. And I'm always feeling blessed as I sit here because there was a huge fire here a few years ago. Took a lot of houses, took a lot of trees. But right here in this area where we're living, it didn't come. It left it untouched. And so I often wonder about that when I go sit out in the next to the trees here. Matter of fact, last night we did a drum circle, well, pretty much late evening and all into the night. I don't know when we finished, maybe 11:30. And just hearing the trees blow and feeling the trees we were sitting under with the river rushing next to us and then the drums entering into that, it was pretty easy to meditate, to think, to get back to that place where we were connected to our earth and to our trees. And we would think very carefully before doing anything that would damage them. You know, that place, once again, we need to get back to. We need to stop this routine destruction of all the parts of our planet. And certainly the trees are a great indicator. They are here for so long, so much longer than, other than the rock people, I suppose, pretty much any other element here on the earth. With the living, breathing elements, certainly the trees are the oldest. So where we as humans, you know, if we're lucky or some would say unlucky, maybe we live 100 years. That's a long life. Trees can go on, some of them, several hundred years, 1,000 years, even more. And so as that opening quote said, the trees have seen much. They've understood much. Don't ever doubt that the trees, the rocks, the grasses, the plants, the rivers, don't see, feel, think, understand, not as humans. It's innate to the planet. But we're all made out of the same matter. So there is this consciousness of universe in everything. That's why everything works together in harmony when we allow it to, when we don't destruct that harmony. And so I'm thinking about something someone sent me the other day when they asked me about trees, and I shared a little bit that I knew, actually about the pine trees, I believe is what I shared with them. But then they were talking to me about the madrone trees in the Pacific Northwest. I forget, they're called other things too, but madrone is the one I know and the one they mentioned. It's a really sacred tree there to the First Nations. Beautiful trees. They have a very narrow band of existence environmentally that they can live in. And he sent me something from, I don't know if it's from a book or something he wrote. It wasn't described to me. It doesn't matter. But talking about the Great Flood and the Salish First Nation there and how the madrone trees provided anchors for their boats, provided them a steady place to be, so their canoes wouldn't get swept away. And anyway, talked about that because of this, the madrone tree was never used as firewood. That was their way to respect the Madrone tree, to thank it in their ancestral memory for all it had done in the past. Then he went on also actually to ask about the floods and why floods are in so many cultures, but that's a different show for another time. And this is probably up in Rogers area too, I think, because I believe the Madrones go up into the Canadian part of the world. I could be wrong on that, but I believe so. They're known as the tree of knowledge because they know how to find the sun. They twist, they turn. So you may have seen pictures of these. They're quite impressive, and they have incredible energy. They can be very twisted, but in a powerful way, not in a negative or a dark way. So there's one way to honor the trees. Do something to honor a tree. Bring water to it if it needs water. Clear away anything that's around it if it needs more sun. Just sit and be with it and meditate. All kinds of things. Plant trees. That's a big one, especially with the way we're destroying trees. Go out and plant some trees. You know, plant little tiny ones, and then do what you can to protect them. In the native way, we talk to the animals. If you plant trees in an area where the animals might eat the new tree, you talk to the animals first and ask them to respect the standing nation. And I'm told that that actually works, and the animals don't eat as many of the trees. I can't say that I can verify that through science, but I remember being told that by several different folks. So, see, Roger's putting up a lot of notes, but I don't think he can hear us still, so I'm sorry about that. I hope he can, but if not, yeah, he can pick it up later, I guess. Stick in the middle.
Yeah, we do need to honor the trees. We do need to honor their role, and they are important. I think more than what we can, more than words can describe. And from Roger, contained within the spirit. There is wisdom. In nature, there is freedom. In nature, you will find the freedom to liberate your spirit, and within your spirit, you will find the wisdom to deal with life's up and downs. By quietly observing nature, you will discover that which it would seem society wishes you to forget, our spiritual connection with all. I think this will be my Facebook post for later. Well, it's good to know, Roger. It's really good to know. I really like that. Again, the more that we go to animals, if we approach animals, connect with them, connect with plants, connect with the ocean, connect with rocks, flowers. Basically, what is not human, not for the entire life, but for a little bit. There's got to be a balance between between who we are as humans and our origin as part of the Earth Mother. She's our origin. We need to stay connected to her, but also to connect with each other. There are a lot of people that I heard over the years, and they told me, we don't like people. We hate people. We prefer to be connected to nature and all its elements. And, I used to be that person. Because I got offended so much and I couldn't find my place around society. And sometimes I still can't, and that's okay. It's not like a person changes all the time. Who we are changes all the time. But the thing is that, connecting with nature and all of its elements, doesn't mean, you know, the big connection, the strong one, doesn't mean that you need to be disconnected from you know, your brother, your sister, your friends, your family, people you work with. They are part of your existence. They are part of everyone's existence. I mean, we're not always nice and we're not always honest. And we're not perfect, but that's who we are, and we need to keep maintaining the balance between nature and the human world. And I totally agree with Jim. I think we need to find every day. We need to find ways to honor the tree nation, the rock nation by living with them, living alongside of the river or living alongside somewhere else, of course, if you can afford it. But even in, you know, in big cities, we need to do that as well. I mean, you see only concrete jungle. You don't see trees. And of course, in these places, more and more people getting sicker and sicker with lung diseases, sometimes cancer. We need to make sure that there is balance everywhere we go, not just physically as well, but also mentally, emotionally. From Running Elk, and then I'll pass the talking stick to Jim. Running Elk said, because they cut down many trees for wood and fire, my ancestors began the untrust of the settlers early in their time here. And unfortunately, you know, you can't change the past. That's what happened. Unfortunately, it doesn't really matter from which race, you know, what race we talk about. We all do it. I don't go and cut a tree, but we do need to make sure that I don't cause more damage. I try that every day. And I think we all need to teach our children to do the same. And I think the untrust, the mistrust of people in each other hurts nature as well. It hurts its fabric. So, but you know, this is something that I'm sure that we will talk about, because the distrust, the mistrust between people is it's kind of like something that we need to talk about on those shows. Maybe we'll do a show about that sometime. Jim?
Yep, still here.
Mm.
Some good comments starting to come up now, so that's great. Yeah, and I like Running Elk's comments, absolutely right. And he was saying more that in the Black Hills, which are sacred to the Lakota and to some other bands as well, because of the mining, they were also cutting down a lot of trees. And so if you know that part of the world, there's not a lot of trees to begin with. So trees are particularly respected and important. By some of the plains natives where there are less trees. So that's a really good one. Thank you, Running Elk. I see Janie says, my local town celebrates its 200 years this month. A lot of photos are being found. It's sad to see what's been done to the countryside, which once was here in the name of development. Yeah, and of course, Janie has a really good vantage point on this. Being in Great Britain, England, I believe, if I remember. England, if you go back and look at pictures of all of England, it was treed. There were a lot of trees. There was a lot of woods. And now there's very little, if any. You know, even go back into literature. Robin Hood. Robin Hood lived in Sherwood Forest. Well, been there, and actually been there fairly recently. Sue and I were there a few years ago. What's left of Sherwood Forest, you could walk in about an hour and a half. The rest of it is long gone. Everything being cut for crops. In other words, everything being put out of balance. And that is the issue. things going out of balance, in many different ways. And I'm just thinking back. I was just trying to remember it, and I think I do. Story of why trees lose their leaves. To show balance and respect have to be all around between all creatures. We humans are out of balance. There's way too many of us. And that's part of what's going on here, but not all of it. So if I may, I'll just do this. I'll do kind of a shortened version of the story of why trees lose their leaves, which is also the story of the pine trees. And I can't even remember what Native American nation this story came from, so forgive me. Running Elk, or if anyone else knows, feel free to throw it up there. So the way this story goes, way in early times, when there was balance and harmony here on the earth, Mother, all creatures were together in that balance and harmony. And all creatures did what they needed to exist, to prosper, to evolve, to grow, to be part of that web of life. And we've talked about this show today being the story of the web of life where trees fit in. So we had the birds. We had, I believe it was a sparrow. And the sparrow would come and be in the trees in the summertime. And the sparrow with his mate, they'd build their nest, have their young ones. And then when it started to get cold, they'd head south to where it was warmer. And so this would happen each year, and then they would come back in the spring. And we know this migration pattern. We know it well today. And we know the part that the trees play, because that's where most of the birds nest, of course. Well, one year, Sparrow was injured. And Sparrow hurt his wing and knew he'd never be able to fly the whole way to the south. So Sparrow didn't know what to do. And Sparrow started to visit the trees and ask for help. And so Sparrow went to an oak tree first and said, "Grandfather Oak, I'm injured. I will not be able to fly south this year. May I stay with you? May I live within your branches and seek protection from your leaves and pick food from off of your surface and so survive the winter?" And Grandfather Oak was kind of angry and nasty and said, "No, you know, you can't do that. You all go south in the winter. That's our time of rest. You come back." And Sparrow said, "But you have these leaves that could protect me and the branches, and there's bugs I could eat upon." And Grandfather Oak said, "No, go away and leave me alone." And so Sparrow was very upset and flew off and flew to an elm tree. Said, "Grandmother Elm, I'm injured this year. I can't fly south. My wing is damaged. May I stay within your leaves and your branches this winter and eat some bugs off of your surface so I can survive until the spring?" And Grandmother just frowned and shook her head and said, "No, Sparrow, you need to go. I need my leaves and my branches. I need what I have. I don't have extra for the winter time. It's here for you in the summer." So again, he flew off. And he went to other trees, and the same thing would happen. So he was feeling that, well, I guess he would have to try to fly south, but he knew he'd never make it. And then he came upon a big pine tree along the banks of the river. And he thought, "Well, I'll try once more." So he flew into the pine tree and sat there and said, "Grandfather Pine, I'm injured, and I need a place to stay for the winter. Place where I could be safe. And so your leaves, although they're pointy, and your branches would help protect me, and I could eat some food off of your trunk if you would allow me. And that way I could survive until the spring when the rest of the sparrows return." And the pine tree said, "Well, I guess that's fine. I will help you any way I can, but I'm the least of the trees. I don't have the broad spreading leaves. Mine are pointed and narrow, but pull them together as best you can. Take some and make yourself a winter nest. And even if I'm the least, I'll give you what I can to help you get through." And so the sparrow said, "Oh, that's wonderful." And he went about building this nest, winter nest, in the pine tree. And he curled in, and he managed to gather some food and brought that in with him. And so he survived, and the rest of his family and all the other sparrows returned in the spring. But Creator and the Earth Mother were watching this, and they saw all of this. And so they came down to speak to the Standing Nation and to the birds. And they said, you know, Creator said, this just was not the way we expect harmony between all who are here. And it's not just animals, it's trees, it's birds, it's all who are here, it's the rocks. And you trees did not aid the sparrow when he needed help. The only one who aided him was the least, the pine tree. Even though he didn't have grand leaves, even though he had to stay in the whole winter time and not be able to go anywhere like the birds could. But he gave safe harbor to this little sparrow. And from this point on, the rest of you trees, as it begins to get cold, you will lose your leaves. You won't have them for the winter. You will be bare and cold, and then not get them again until the spring. Only the pine tree will keep his green. And so that's what happened, and the pine from that day on stayed green all year round. And so that's the story of the pine trees, or why the trees lose their leaves. And again, the balance in this, and it's part of this thing, is all things on this planet have their purpose and their reason. All must work together. So as the trees are here to protect us and provide oxygen and provide food and provide places we live, some wood for the things we live in, so too we have to treat them in balance, or who knows what is in store for us. Stick in the middle.
I know this story. I think you told me that, or maybe. But there's another version that when it comes to the relationship between the tree and a man. I don't remember the details of it, but I do know it's a children's story. Maybe it's an Israeli one, maybe not. But it's the same concept of of the real relationship between trees and all that is around, either animals or people. The change of leaves. This is a great story, no doubt about that. From Rhonda Davis. Last fall, we had to have a very old tree taken down because it was dead. I sent energy to the tree every day before it was taken down. During the process of them taking it down, I took some photos. That surprising result was that in these photos, and I wonder what kind of they're probably the photos show a lot of life. It was that old tree, but even cutting a tree, I don't think you can really cut energy. I don't think you can end its energy, even if it was dead. It's simply a continuation of something else that will grow there. And if you build a house on top of where trees used to be, then you will see chaos in this place, either emotional or maybe from the weather point of view, physically. But there is always, and Rhonda, I'm sure you can empower what I'm saying, or at least maybe agree with me. There's something, once they cut that tree down, there's something that feels like it's empty, like the picture is not complete. And that's when, you know, even thinking about, wow, this tree was there for so long. And now it's kind of like the picture is incomplete and something is missing. But the energy is, you know, that can never be missed. We always need to go outside and see beautiful trees, nature, and most importantly, from now on, to not to allow our children to stay stuck in their houses, in the house, and you know, be on the computer all the time, or the smartphone, or I don't know, whatever it is. Ron Gell just said that he thinks that that was a Cherokee story. Could be. Yeah, Sue said that it was a beautiful story, Grey Wolf. I haven't heard that from you before. Well, there's always a first time, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of history that trees tell, you know, that they tell us, the size of them, their shape, what kind of tree they are. And, you know, I was talking about Lord of the Rings before, and there is a nice quotation in the second book, The Two Towers. I won't say a lot about it, but there was this conversation between Treebeard, one of the Ents, the tree herders, and the hobbit named Pippin. And Pippin said, "And whose side are you on? Which side do you take?" And Treebeard said, "Side? I'm on nobody's side, because nobody's on my side, little orc." And yeah, and we forget about that, because we're so, you know, we're so occupied in our thoughts, so focused on battling each other on every detail, that we forget that there are trees all around. They take no one's side. They just want to be, and they just want to keep the balance and the harmony. And that's what we need to do. And helping them is by not cutting them down, not building oil pipes or something like that. That's respecting the Earth Mother. That's what we need to do. Sue said, "I've felt the anguish of trees being ripped apart by the machines that can cut them down. I was out of control with sadness for these trees behind where I had lived at that time." Yeah, it's always painful to see something like that. It's very, very painful. Jim, Token Stick is yours. I see that a lot of people enjoy your story.
No, that's good. I'm glad they enjoyed the story, but it's the meaning behind the stories that I hope everybody is tagging into. I'm going to share another one in a couple minutes, but I just see here Francis. I'm not sure where Francis is from, but welcome. So they offered me money for a grove of beautiful trees on my land. I needed the money but had to turn them down. Why can't we do this together as a people? And, you know, that's a really good first of all, I'm glad you did that, Francis, but it's also a really good question. And, you know, I ran into that myself many years ago. More years ago than I want to remember. I had a really nice old property. I had a house that dated back to the 1700s. It was like the first one in that area there, late 1700s, early 1800s. They weren't sure. And so there were trees on this property that dated back to those times as well. Beautiful black walnut trees. There were five of them, I believe. I'm trying to remember. I think that's correct. And yeah, I was young, hadn't acquired much yet. My wife at the time and I had bought this property because we loved it, and it needed a lot of work, which we knew we were going to have to do ourselves because we really couldn't afford to hire anyone to do it. And, you know, we were ready to do that. And the first thing we'd done is some gardening around the property and getting that back in order and planting some flowers and cleaning up around these beautiful black walnuts, which they were incredible. They were, I don't know how tall they were, but incredibly tall and straight. And they get, the black walnuts get their leaves rather late in the year. And then near the end of the season, they allow some sap to come, which if you park near them, you're going to get a sapped up car. But incredible, powerful trees. And so while this was going on, we had a company come in that was a furniture company. And they offered us $5,000 to $6,000 per tree if they could take those trees and then cut them up for furniture. So whatever it was close to $40,000 if we would allow them to take all these trees, because I guess they were incredibly straight. They didn't have any limbs for the first, 60 feet or something, because they were so old. And it's funny because we, much like you were saying, Francis, I don't know if you immediately said no, but we didn't even have to talk about it. There was nothing to talk about, even though that money would have done a lot of the work we needed done at the house. There was just no way. And it took us several years to get that house in shape and that land. But we were so happy those trees were still there. So the question is, why can't we do that collectively? We allow the greedy ones to go and continue to destroy the landscapes, to cut down the trees. Why is that? Because we haven't found a good enough collective voice yet. We are. We're finding it. We have shows like this and many, many others, of course. We have people writing. We have groups like the Climate Reality Group that I'm a part of. We have all kinds of things going on now, so we're starting to find our voice, and that is what we need to do. We have indigenous people down in the Amazon standing up and saying, you have to stop cutting these trees. You're destroying the habitat. You're destroying our lives. What's more, you're destroying the lives of everyone, because eventually the air will be too dirty to breathe. And so I think that's why, Francis, it's easy to stand up for ourselves and say, no, you're not going to do that in my area. But truly, if this is the time of circle, as we're always saying, then every area is my area because we're all one. And so collectively we have to say, stop cutting those trees in the Amazon. Get the heck out of the redwoods. They've almost eliminated the redwoods from the west coast of the U.S. Leave what's left alone. It's those things we have to start doing, I believe. If not, we get even more and more and more out of harmony. And so with that, maybe another, and this story is Cherokee, and this one's fairly short, but I think it makes the point as well. It's the legend of the cedar tree. And it's really fascinating. If you guys do any Googling, you will find virtually every tree there is has numerous stories about it from different tribes and different nations around the world. And that's because trees are so important and always have been to those nations, but to us as a people. So the legend of the cedar tree goes kind of like this. When the Cherokee people were fairly new, way back when the Cherokee people arrived, and again, this could be any nation, but this is by the Cherokee, the trees were there, the night was there, the day was there, the plants were there. But they thought, well, wouldn't it be nice if we could get rid of night and only have day, only have sunlight, and things would grow, and boy, we'd have a lot more trees and a lot more plants. And so they asked Creator, they said, okay, you have made this for us, and we thank you, and we're here to do what our part of it is, but could we be done with the nighttime? And so Creator heard them, and since there's free will, okay. And so he eliminated night, and we only had day. And there was only day in the planet. And so it got very hot, because there was no night to cool it down. It got very bright. There was rain, and things began to grow, but they really grew. And they grew out of control. The people could barely walk from one place to another because there was nowhere to walk. The trees and the plants were growing everywhere. And their crops were coming up so fast, but then all the different trees and plants were choking each other out because there was no balance. There was no darkness to slow things for part of each cycle of the day. And so the people, the Cherokee people, went back to Creator and said, "Oh, Creator, oh, we're so sorry. We've made a mess by what we've done here and asked for. So please, 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 could you stop this for us? Could you eliminate this daytime and give us night and let things get back into harmony and balance by themselves? We can't walk. We can't move. We can't grow crops. It's too hot. We're suffering." And so Creator heard them and said, "Okay, if that is what you wish and free will." And so he eliminated daytime and had only nighttime. And so for a while, although it was dark and they were not comfortable with this, things started to come into balance, and some of the plants began to die off. And so there were open areas again, and people could move around again. And they were thinking, well, this is better, and they could harvest the crops. But before too long, things continued to die, and the crops started to die. There was no sunlight. The rains that came were hard rains, cold rains, because it was all in the night. And the trees began to die, and the trees all began to lose their leaves. And the pine trees, who have very shallow roots, began to fall over. And so again, the people, the Cherokee people, went to Creator and said, "Oh, Creator, we've made the mistake again. Please, can you put things back to the way they were? Can we please have day and light?" So Creator said, "Okay, if that is what you want, that is what I'll do, but it'll stay that way this time." And so it went back to a time of day and of night. But while there was the heavy night, many, many, many of the people had died. There were not enough crops, there was not enough sun, there was disease. A lot of the people died off. And so Creator said, "Well, we will do this now." And he took the spirits of many of those who died, and he put them in the cedar trees, because the cedar tree was a very beautifully smelling tree. And that's so the people would remember. If they made too much of an impact, if they changed nature, if they affected the balance in the natural world, the cedar trees and their aroma would remind them of what happened the last time, and that they could all perish. And so to this day, the cedar trees are a reminder of that. And we stay with night and day. And so that's the story. And, of course, it is about balance. And it is kind of what's happening today. Except we're cutting down the trees. We're not asking Creator to give us only night or only day. But we are affecting the balance again. And so what happens when we cut down too many trees? What happens when we have too much concrete and asphalt and not enough trees and plants? We will begin to die again, and maybe the cedar trees won't be there to remind us. Stick in the middle.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about, and we do take something that is not ours to take. We take lives of trees. Why trees are less than humans? Than a human life. Just because it's not written by law doesn't mean it's not part of the universal law. And we do need to listen to the universal law, maybe before we listen to the human law. Maybe the human laws will be better and clearer and wiser in their essence because of the universal law, because we will allow the universal law to show us, to guide us, what is it that exactly that we need to do and the things that we don't need to do, that we need to just allow things to be. And we need to stop interfering in everything and trying to control everything. That sure won't help us. I found three quotations that are all about trees, all about plant medicine. The first one is from Molière, the author, very gifted author, if I may add my personal opinion. He said, "The trees that are slow to grow bear the best fruit." You know, thinking about this quotation, and I think I was maybe 14 years old that I read that quotation for the first time. That made me realize that we are so much in, you know, competitive when it comes to the relationship we have with each other. And the trees show us that, you know, sometimes fast is not that good. Sometimes fast is out of balance. We need to allow nature to take its course and to follow its pace, the pace that has no connection, that has nothing to do with other people's pace, because we all have our own pace. We all have our own rhythm that we need to follow. And it doesn't really matter that one heals faster and the other one doesn't. You can't really compare one person to another as much as you can compare one tree to another. But all trees together create a harmony that we need, a sacred harmony that we need to power and be thankful for. The second quotation is from George Eliot. He said, "It will never rain roses. When we want to have more roses, we must plant more trees." I don't think there's much to add to that, but I think it's perfect. It's a perfect quotation. If we want something, it won't come to us from the sky. We need to work hard on this. We need to plant more trees to have more roses. I think that pretty much says everything. The last one is from the yellow side of the medicine wheel. Confucius said, "If you think in terms of year, plant a seed. If you think of in terms of 10 years, plant trees. If in terms of 100 years, teach people." And I love this quotation very much. That's why I put it last. We keep talking about the seventh generation. This is it, people. This is how, you know, it's not what to think, but it's how to think. It doesn't really matter that we disagree with each other sometimes. It's how to do it. And that's how we can work together, because if we will think in terms of 1 year, we'll have tree, you know, maybe 6 months, maybe more than a year, doesn't really matter. But when we think in terms of 100 years, 500 years, 10,000 years, we will have a generation that will know what to do. We will have a legacy. And I see from Larry from Running Elk's group, he said, "These politicians who keep trying to convince us climate change is a lie, just want to cut the trees, suck the oil and build their accounts. They know nothing about it, and so they just spread nonsense. I'd rather see trees leave spread." And Rank Elk said, "Trees are the large part of many ceremonies of my people. Sweat lodges required willow shoots," and there is a, I don't know how to read that, so I'm sorry, "process in selection, permission, and prayer." But yeah, Jim and I talked about it many times, the ceremonies and the plant medicine that is so part of the essence of those ceremonies. And I agree, Larry, I do think that politicians and some of the media say that they suggest this and that, but they don't know, they don't listen, they don't put their ears and listen to the earth, to the land. Yeah, that's my end at the moment, anyway. Jim?
Yeah, and I did that in copying over. So what Larry was saying was Running Hook was saying, there's a whole process in selection, permission, and prayer. So, yeah, some good comments there. Let's see. First, Larry, that's interesting. Maybe you looked at my Facebook page today because I put something up about that earlier this morning. Yes, these politicians, of course, are coming up with this nonsense, and it is nonsense, folks, and it is pure lies, and they know it. And I found it interesting, so that's what I posted today. Most of them start out with, I'm no scientist, but, and then, you know, oh, well, climate change is a lie, or we're not cutting too many trees, or we're not pulling too much oil, or blah, 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 blah. All garbage. Yeah, the point is, yeah, they're not scientists. And even our scientific community now, 99% plus or minus, agree that there's climate change, some portion of it's human-caused, and we have to do something. And trees, of course, are a huge part of that. I have found it quite interesting that a lot of these folks, I think today's piece, it was Rick Perry who was spouting off with this, I'm not a scientist, but climate change is a lie. It was Rick Santorum the other day, and a couple of others last week. I also find it fascinating, and it's coming into these stories that we're telling today. Creator's always part of the stories because Creator is part of all of our existence, and we are all a part of Creator. And yet, many of these folks, Rick Santorum, Rick Perry, some of the others, propose to be these very religious people. Now, how can they be religious if they ignore Creator's own thoughts on this planet and what Creator has created here on this planet? It makes no sense when you think about it that way. The only thing that makes sense, of course, is the greed and the avarice of these people, and that's what it is all about. So, yes, we can't believe these folks. We definitely never could. Now it's just clearer. And certainly on this issue, not at all. Let's go with what we can see ourselves. Let's go with what the scientific community has found. And in that way, determine what we're going to do to protect the trees and everything else in this existence. Really, really good comments coming here. And Running Elk, yes. When trees are used in ceremonies, and that's not just with the Lakota. Believe me, that's with the Mayan. It's with most of the groups I've worked with. Yeah, it's done carefully. It's done thoughtfully. I don't know if that's always been the case. Probably not, because back when there were a lot less people, the impacts weren't as huge. But even then, many of the people were nomadic. And so after a period of time, they moved on, and so trees would grow up again in that area. So it kind of took care of itself. We don't really have that now. As Roger says here, just like they discovered in Yellowstone Park, after the reintroduction of wolves, they discovered trees were beginning to grow again because the wolves were necessary for controlling the deer population, which feasted on the saplings. Yeah, and that's the whole point of balance. That was the point of the stories we shared today. That's the point of balance when we go outside. That's the point of all of this. We need to come back into balance. We need to respect the trees and everything else. But today we're talking about trees. Stop just cutting them down. Stop cutting down trees because you want a nice piece of wood or you want a wooden wall in your house or you want a house that's all wood. We have to find other options. Those things are critical now. And, yeah, Yellowstone's been a great and wonderful teacher, and the standing people, the trees, have been excellent teachers up there. The one way that Roger just said, yeah, absolutely. Because they took out a top-tier predator, the wolf, a lot of trees were dead. There were too many deer, too many elk. Feasting on the young trees and other plants, not just trees. We also saw, though, the teaching of the trees with the fires in Yellowstone. we had suppressed, this is the other side of lack of balance, we had suppressed fire for way too long as humans because we thought we can control these things. So then the fires came and took out a good part of Yellowstone Park. Now, though, X number of years later, and it's quite a, I don't even know what it is now, 15 years, 20 years probably, the diverse environment of Yellowstone is back. And so it's all about balance. Let's not go to Creator and ask for all night. Let's not go to Creator and ask for all day. Let's ask for balance and understand it and use it and walk with it. Let me pass back to Sharon. There's a lot of other good things popping up here.
Yeah, and it seems like they keep coming. Yeah, Roger said just like they discover. Yeah, oh, well, you read that. I'm sorry. The true purpose of life is to plant trees under whose shade you do not expect to sit, by Nelson Hansen. That's a mouthful, really. I think when a person goes to a spiritual search, an emotional one, you know, even not spiritual people, there has to be a nature element involved in the process. I mean, you can't just sit in your house expecting things to come to you so easily. If you want to plant roses, you have to have more trees, just like George Eliot said. It's amazing, really, how much we're not aware of and how much we need to do. Janie said trees are the earth's endless effort to speak to the listening heaven. I read that too when I searched for quotations. This is a brilliant one, really. That's, you know, trees are the earth's endless effort to speak to the listening heaven. But there's, you know, there's a lot of energy in it, and I keep thinking, you know, the trees know so much. They listen more than we do. The only thing that we need to do is listen sometimes and stop talking, stop doing things, stop pushing things, stop pushing each other. Sometimes stop pushing ourselves and just listen for a second, for a moment. Be the tree for a moment. Be one with it. Find the harmony that is in the tree and not the disharmony that it is in paying bills for a second. There are more things that are more important, and you know, we can find it in nature. Jim, there's something you wanted to see. There's something that happened there a few moments ago. Would you like to share it?
Mm-hmm. What did you want me to share? What I posted?
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, somebody had put up from John Muir. I guess Janie and Roger are both doing that. And I was just thinking a John Muir quote that I always liked. A few minutes ago, I used to think of this, by the way, sitting in the woods under trees. A few minutes ago, every tree was excited, bowing to the roaring storm, waving, swirling, tossing their branches in glorious enthusiasm, like worship. But though to the outer ear, these trees are now silent, their songs never cease. And so that, of course, Muir was sitting in the woods and a big storm came through. And, of course, when it does, yeah, the trees can really sing and dance. And then when it stops, they seem to get silent, but they're not. The trees are always, always speaking. And Rhonda had messaged a minute or two ago that they're the original healers, which they absolutely are. And, you know, that's a whole another show we could do on trees and plants. Yeah, they're absolutely the original healers. And the time I've spent with the Garifuna people and the Mayan folks, in Central America learning plant medicine, the trees are incredible in what they offer, medicine-wise and healing-wise. But also through that connection with our spirit, they're equally as powerful, maybe even more so, than the medicinal qualities of what is in them. That's all I had. Stick in the middle.
Yeah. Sue said trees have a very special place within my heart. I love and talk to them all the time and touch them, giving them my love and admiration. And you know, when you touch someone or something with love, you can be sure that what you will get is love and appreciation from the other side. So, yeah, trees are not empty tubes at all. They're hollow bones, but they're not empty. They have spirit, they have soul, they have essence, they have life. They take no one's side, that's for sure. And it seems like we got to the end of our show because it's 11 minutes after 2 Mountain Time. Jim, you have something else to add before we'll go off?
Yeah, actually, someone had messaged me while we were doing this that wasn't there a piece I'd written on. It's actually a poem I wrote on trees before. And, yeah, that's absolutely right. And I can post it up later. But there was a time, you know, talk about needing some healing help. That was actually after my past wife, died, and a bunch of other people around me died. And there was a huge tree on the land where I was at that time. And I used to go and sit under that tree. It was the only place I could find any kind of comfort and ease at all. So I would go sit there, and I would connect with that tree in every way imaginable. And that helped me get through a lot. And so I'm glad that thank you to the listener who reminded me of that. I guess I had shared this with them before. And I'm not going to read it now because it's too long. But I can post it up for people. And, yeah, that's another way that trees can help us. When you really feel like everything's falling apart, go sit under a tree. It may have been there for hundreds of years. Absorb that energy. Take that energy. Feel that energy. Let it enter you and you enter the tree. Become one with the tree. And you will feel a lot of the stress, the pain, whatever it is in you, start to leave you, actually out of you and into the earth, much like the roots of the tree. And so I would use it that way. I definitely would use it that way. And thank you for all these comments. There's still a number of comments on the message line we won't get to. But maybe we'll do another show in a different way about trees before long, because this seems to be a one that really hit some notes here today. So thank you all, and we'll see you soon. And I give it back to Sharon.
Well, it was an amazing show. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really hope that you had fun today with that, but most importantly, that you took what you need to proceed forward. And I think I will end this with a quote from Confucius. He said, if you think in terms of a year, plant a seed. If in terms of 10 years, plant trees. If in terms of 100 years, teach the people. I think that's pretty much it. We'll see you again this upcoming Wednesday with a brand new show. Don't forget to share those shows on your Facebook, Twitter, any kind of social media. And, of course, go to our website, www.sotem.org. We're waiting for you to help us to start do things and not just talk about them. action time anyway. Yeah, take care of yourself, and yeah, we'll see you again soon. Bye.